We've now officially been joined by our race winner from today's NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, Lane Riggs. Lane, congratulations on that win. It feels kind of crazy to think back that we tried to run this race on Friday night. It's now officially Sunday morning. Take us through a little bit of your race weekend and really what it meant to be able to take home the checkered flag there at the end.
Yeah, well worth the wait. I can tell that, one, I'm here on Sunday, and two, we're at home because there's a lot more people in here than normally are for truck races. So thank you guys for showing up today. It's been a dreary weekend. Our hearts are heavy, mine included. I was really emotional all Thursday and Friday, just trying to process everything and how to go about myself. And we're here Friday. I'm like, it just doesn't feel right to race tonight. So if anything, it was kind of good for me. I got a little bit of a reset for a couple days. Got my head together. I feel like we were able to watch the O'Reilly race and kind of take notes for the first time. We're usually always the first race on the weekends, so we're always the one helping the other teams out, figure out how they need to be better. So it was good to kind of use those notes, apply them, and be better. But no, it's our hearts are out to the whole Busch family. I was really emotional on the radio as I come across the checkered flag. I want to do that one for Kyle. I've watched him dominate here so many years. The rain delay last night, I was sitting on the couch in my pajamas saying, and I hope we don't have to race tonight because I'm not ready to go back to the racetrack and watch him put it on Cindric, and was taking notes. So it was really cool. Pulled a couple of those moves, a couple of slide jobs he was making. I was able to apply those today. What a guy. It's such a shame for the whole NASCAR community, and just glad that I could win and dedicate it to him.
All right. We'll go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. I'll get a microphone to you. I'm going to start in the back with Chris and then work my way forward. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Lane, Chris Gollin with Above the Yellow Line Media. So there was certainly mixed reactions among the drivers to having to do the time clock racing this season, for two times now, two races. Obviously, I know you're in a position where I'm sure you're pretty happy with how things shook out, but does it make a difference to you if the race ends on a set number of laps or mileage versus the time clock like this? Do you have a preference or a dislike for either one?
I think that if we're given the ample information before the race, it's okay. I mean, we're not really in a great situation here. I think it was Atlanta. They didn't say it till like the pace laps, so we didn't get time to talk about it. I'm not sure if that's right or not. I'm pretty sure I didn't hear it until the pace laps. It's been a few weeks, but it's good when we knew before we even started the race what we got to do, how our strategy adjusts. Every caution before we go green is like, as of now, this is what we're going to do. And then the caution command is like, okay, obviously this changes the time. We're going to do this now. So my crew chief Dylan did a really good job of just staying on top of that and keeping me updated. Some things that I feel like we've been trying to work on with our communication and just getting to know each other a little bit better. But I feel like we were on the wrong end of the stick a lot of times. I mean, even back in racing in the Cars Tour and a lot, I know that it's bitten me a lot. I feel like I never come out on the good end of it. So today I feel like we did. But at the same time, you know, we were running under caution there at the very end. I hate we didn't finish under green. I know all fans want to watch a race finish under green flag. But I was confident that even if we went back racing, I was going to have a good enough truck to be able to hold those guys off. Just that track position, and we finally got the balance where I needed it to be, just with no practice, no qualifying. I was confident either way. Shout out to Chandler Smith. Gave me a great push on that last restart to get me out front. Kind of defended for me. I hate he got tore up there at the end. But we had good trucks for both of us. A lot of speed. But, yeah, nobody wants to be a timed race. Everybody wants to run the full distance. And I feel like I was on the good end of the stick for once today. So it was very nice and pleasantly surprising for me.
Thanks, Lane.
Thank you.
All right. We'll go ahead and go same road. Thank you.
Danny McCoy, UNC Charlotte, 9 times. Hi, Lane. Previously, we've had a couple of conversations about how important finding victory lane in green and gold is. And to add on to that, Charlotte alumni make up for a lot of the garage area. Now that you've accomplished this goal, how does it feel to win for Charlotte? And do you have anything to say for our fellow Niners in and out of the garage?
Yeah, go Niners. Pickaxe Nation, it was great to get a win for them. Our second race together, they were on Wilkesboro for an associate, but so our third race together as a team, and I was able to do it right here in the backyard. So thank you to everybody from UNC Charlotte. It's crazy that I went to school there, and I ended up talking to the chancellor and worked out a deal for the sponsorship. I was trying to sell myself, and now we're here, and we're in Victory Lane with UNC Charlotte on the truck. It's really, really awesome. Small world kind of feel, full circle. And just for everybody that's going to school there, wants to be an engineer, I feel like my knowledge and schooling has really excelled me ahead of my competition and just made me a lot better person and smarter race car driver and being able to work on my own stuff. A lot of things come from that. So the motorsports program at UNC Charlotte's great. Just stick with it. School's hard, and I was able to race and do it at the same time with a lot of good support behind me. Stick with your dreams. It's, you know, when I was in college, I was kind of getting to my junior year, and I was told myself, I didn't really tell anybody else, I didn't tell my family, that if I graduate college and I don't have a National Series ride, I'm going to hang the helmet up and get a real big boy job, right? And that year is when I got the opportunity in 2024 to race for Front Row Motorsports, and here I am today. So just stick with it. If you put yourself in the right spots, you'll make it. So, just good luck to everybody that goes to school, and thank you so much for all the support from UNC Charlotte.
Okay, we're going to continue with questions. I'll go to Dalton, and then Claire, and then Steven. Go ahead, Dalton.
Hey, Lane. Dalton Humphries, the Front Stretch. When you came into the sport, you were the short track extraordinaire. Everyone kind of expected you to be dominant on the short tracks, and you were. But since then, you've won at a 2-mile oval, triangle, whatever, won at a flat 1-mile track, and then you won at a road course, a street course, earlier this year. I mean, I think it's fair to say your talent has gone beyond that since then. You're far more diverse. Talk about that journey. Talk about all the things that you have learned in these last 3 years that has made you a better all-around driver.
Yeah, and thank you for recognizing that. I feel like I've put in a lot of work on other forms of racing that I haven't had so much experience at. I feel like right now my super speedway craft is still not as great. I just haven't done it as much. So at year three, I feel really confident going to every racetrack we go to now and knowing what I need to go fast with the trucks. I feel like I got just as good of a shot winning any race now, and that's really good for me, my confidence, my team's confidence. Yeah, I was always labeled, the short track guy. Even when I won Pocono, I was in the media room at Pocono, and somebody said, so since you won here at Pocono, it must drive like a short track, right? I'm like, come on, guys. Like, this is – just give me some credit. So I don't feel like I'm labeled as the short track guy anymore, and that feels really good to get that off my back. I think I can do it at all places. So thank you for recognizing that.
All right, we'll go to Claire.
Claire B. Lang. I got a video of you coming in after the race out on the front stretch, and your team, it's awesome. Your team runs down, and they just can't wait to hug you. And you do a burnout that goes on forever, and they keep waiting. And then you get down to the end, and they're still waiting. Finally, you come back around. Talk about the burnout and your team greeting you there, and then the bow in victory lane.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I was trying not to blow the engine up, but it was just great. I wanted to give the fans here, I know that they didn't get quite the celebration they wanted last night, just for sticking it through today. So I wanted to give them a big smoky burnout. They deserve it. Just got out. Just a lot of emotions. I mean, I was borderline sobbing there at the end. Just our hearts are so heavy for everybody in the Bush family and everybody in the community. I just wanted to do it for him. You know, I said over the radio, I want to win for Kyle, and I hope he's proud of that performance right there. And he's taught me a lot of things over just the couple years that we've raced together, and it's been a privilege to race with him. And I feel like I applied some of that stuff tonight, this morning, I guess. But, it was great to do the bow. We talked about it, doing it, and I was like, I feel like that's kind of his thing. Like, I don't want people to take it the wrong way. Like, I'm stealing his thing. But, you know, Ross did it last night. I just wanted to dedicate the entire win to him and that family. They're hurting deeply right now, like all of us. So it's great to win here and dedicate it to him. Thank you so much.
And real quick, what I thought about while you were doing that long burnout was celebrate every period, single period win. And Kyle had said that, right? But in the extended celebration, that's what I was thinking of.
For sure. Like I said, it was time shortened too. So I'm like, man, I didn't get to race the whole race. I might as well burn these tires off of it, right? But no, it was a big track. I had some room. It was turf, so I wasn't worried about ripping the splitter off of it. I'm like, these fans are all lined up at the fence. I'm going to do a big smoky one for them. So it was really cool. Thank you.
All right, Steven.
Steven Toronto, NASCAR pole position. Lane, you referenced Friday, and we ran a couple of pace laps and didn't take the green flag, brought it in, and waited until today to get things going. You were the outside pole sitter. Corey was on your inside. Kyle's name was on the truck. And just riding around and being in the specific position you were in, can you, if you can you talk about what that was like and what you experienced?
Yeah, it was emotional. Actually, on the initial pace lap, I don't think anybody saw it, but I let Corey get out front and have the front row to himself. I don't know if anybody picked up on that or not, but I was borderline. I was almost shed a tear in the car, and I'm like, man, I got a race here in a minute, and he said one to go, and I'm like, okay, I got to get back ready. So it was almost a little bit of a relief that it started raining a little bit. I don't know if I was quite ready, so I feel like I had a couple days to reflect on it a little more and have a better head on my shoulders and just kind of know where my thought process needed to be better. But at the same time, I know if we took the green flag and we're racing to turn one, it would have been hell-bent to get there and take the lead and win the race either way. So, but yes, it was a lot of people here Friday night. I hate that a lot of those people weren't able to come back this morning for that race, but a lot of emotions for sure.
I actually did that. I did get that on video, and I thought something like that might have happened, but I couldn't be sure. So thank you, and thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for asking.
All right, we're going to come up front to Zach, NASCAR.com.
Zach Sternillo, NASCAR.com. On the topic of Kyle Busch, what did he mean to the truck series specifically?
He's the man. I mean, we all, like I've said in my posts, I've said in other interviews, like, he's the default stat. He's the guy on top that you look at, you're like, I want to be like him. And you're like, everybody wants to aspire for the wins that he had, the runs, I mean, win percentages. I mean, he was, when he shows up, a lot of us, I mean, we didn't want to say it, but we're racing for second probably if he's good enough. So he's always one you looked at for notes, replays, SMT. You want to try to copy him, knowing that you probably couldn't do it any better. You just wanted to be as good as him. If you had a better truck, he might could squeak out a win. So no, it was great racing with him over the years. He meant so much to all of us and was the standard of what excellence was. And, you know, we don't have that anymore. We have the stats, we have the replays, we have everything he's done. But I'm just very fortunate that I had the couple years to race against him. Like I said, our battle last year at Charlotte, I was happy I got to I think I said that out there. We raced here at Charlotte last year. We finished third and fourth. And we've raced each other so hard. And I got out, and I was all excited, like, man, I got to race against Kyle. And I went over there and shook his hand and said, good race. And he was like, whatever. He was pissed. He didn't win. And I was like, man, I kind of took the wind out of my sails there. But, no, he's taught us a lot in his mentality and goals and just everything about him. We all want to do what he did. Yep.
All right. We have one here for John Newby and then one in the back, please, if I can get a microphone to the back. Thank you.
John Newby, FanBuzz. You briefly touched on this in your intro, but what were the actual, like, the notes you were taking last night when you were watching those old races between, you know, Kyle and Cindric? I mean, you mentioned the slide job, so what else was there?
Yeah, just positioning. The resin was a little stronger back then. I think it was 6 years ago. So it was a little bit different, but, like, just the way he'd set the run up, get a position, side draft at the right time. Like, I could see that he would side draft him, but not as soon as he'd get to him. Like, he'd almost, like, lag for a second and then try to pull him back to get the momentum on entry. And I know a lot of cup guys do that, but it's hard for us truck guys that don't get to do that a lot to learn how to do that. So that, just getting position on him on entry and just kind of taking away their line. I feel like I did that. I think I did that on the 91 and the 11 once in turn one and two. And I was like, I think I learned that last night. So, yeah, positioning, error blocking, just all the things that he was so good at doing. I feel like I've got the experience and comfort level now that I can apply those things.
All right, good.
Rhonda Beck, Beck Racing Media. I recently talked with David Reagan, and know he works at the Ford Tech Center and also Troy Raker. What can you say about what they do and how that helps you on a weekly basis?
Yeah, Troy and David, they are in, I'd say Troy's at every one of our sim sessions. David comes to about, I'd say, 70% of them. He's just a good guy to have in the back of your ear. And, you know, I have Dad, obviously, which is always there. But David did a little bit longer. He's ran this next-gen car as well. He still does the tire tests for Ford Racing. And he's got a lot of experience. So it's good to hear two kind of perspectives on everything. And just the more the merrier for help. But like I said, he spends a lot of time sitting in our sim sessions, probably bored to death. But it's always good that when he chimes in, he gives us a little bit of advice, a little, hey, I know in the sim it feels like this. Don't think about that. Think about this. And we apply a lot of that stuff. So from what I heard, we're going to his condo after this in turn one and going to party it up. So mm-hmm. That's exciting. So thank you to David.
All right. Any final questions? All right. Congratulations again, Lane.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Enjoy this one.